With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bits, our little gift to you podcast subscribers. This week we meet Natasha Devon, host of the new Channel 4 show Naked Beach, and talk about whether or not we take it all off just for the sake of our body image.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
So, ladies, talking about body image and getting naked on the beach. Have either of you seen The Naked Beach on Channel 4? Emma, you've seen it.
Yes, I have. Yeah, what watched you the think? First episode. I was like, wow, this is what Love Island should probably be like, basically. Just like lots of normal people. But also, I thought it was just a bit sad that these people, like young people, just couldn't even bear to look at themselves naked in a mirror. Like, yeah. Absolutely just hated themselves so much. And I was just like, how sad it is that they were so consumed, but how interesting that when you are around people who were no clothes on, how quickly they were able to change that mindset.
Well, we have one of the hosts of the show, Natasha Devon MBE, on the line with us now. Natasha, why do you think Naked Beach works when it comes to improving our body image?
Hello. I think the reason that it works is because we take the guests away from everything that they know, everything that's familiar, all of the associations that they have with their job, with their home life that maybe are holding them back. And we completely immerse them in this experience. They go to a Greek island where people of all different shapes and sizes are naked around them 24/7. And so whilst the transformation looks really dramatic over the 4 days, it's because it's like a baptism of fire and they don't know what to expect. They genuinely didn't know that people were going to be naked when they turned up. So they're just that, you know, that reaction that you see when they turn up to the island where they say, wow, that's genuine.
Wow.
And so just check, when you say everyone's naked, are the crew naked too?
No, the crew weren't naked. So Dr. Keon and I, who oversee the experiment, we selected 8 incredibly body confident hosts. They're people who are already in the body positivity space online, and they do a lot of stuff on Instagram. And we specifically wanted people in a really broad range of different shapes and sizes and races. I'm hoping that perhaps the TV show might get commissioned for another series. And that being the case, I would really like to expand it out so that we see people of different ages as well, because all of the hosts in the current series are quite young.
Natasha, do you know, have there been lasting impact and effects on the contestants who've been on the show in terms of how they feel post-show? Like, does it continue and improve their body positivity?
We've kept in touch with all of the contributors, and it has actually impacted them long-term. And what I think it is a lot of it is facing your fears, because the things that they do, like getting naked on the beach and the 5-minute flash, which is where they stand with one of the hosts in a towel and they look at each other's body naked for 5 minutes, those things are far worse in your imagination than they are when you try them in reality. So I think doing those things and living them and realizing that no one died, nothing bad happened, made them live their fullest life afterwards. And that was the thing that struck me when I was interviewing the contributors before the show. was how many of them were putting their life on hold until they achieved some kind of aesthetic that they thought they were meant to look like. And that, to me, was the really sad thing.
One of the things I thought was really lovely about the show was seeing, I mean, seeing men and women, but particularly seeing women with bodies of all shapes and sizes, but which weren't toned up to the hilt. So much of my social media feed is filled with women where the prime girl now has gone from thin to toned. Oh. And it's about how can we kind of shrink it and keep it really hard and tight. And I actually just loved seeing a bit of flab, seeing a bit of softness and a bit of droop, and just people who looked like they had lives outside of the gym. I thought it was really beautiful. What has been the response for those people who have been on the show, for the your body positive hosts? What have people been saying to them?
Well, I've been surprised at how positive the response has been. Obviously, we've had the inevitable kickback, people saying that we're promoting obesity, etc. But overwhelmingly, if you look through the comments on social media, I would say about 75-80% of it is positive. Exactly the same response as you've had. It's so good to see normal people, because the fact is, whilst we do have some people who are larger, we also have people who are naturally slender. What they're not are people who spend 8 hours a day in the gym. And I think we've become so desensitized to normal bodies that that in itself is either shocking or refreshing, depending on which way you look at it.
Natasha, where do you think we need to roll back to? Because I was just thinking about where I would see naked bodies, and it would be PE, so the girls' changing room. I don't know, even know if people really buy full length mirrors anymore, but my dad, with his design aesthetic, for some reason every bathroom he's ever designed has a full, as in a whole wall is basically a mirror, so I have no choice but to look at myself naked every day when I get into the shower. And so I am comfortable, I see my naked body all of the time, and I know what all of my girlfriend's naked bodies look like. We were talking, I wouldn't go to a beach and have my sort of vagina out, but I would have my boobs out. So where, you know, if you're not going on a show, where does this being comfortable with nakedness start?
I think it's really interesting, the attitude that we have towards nudity in Britain in particular. And actually, a young person that I was talking to summed it up best, as they often do. A teenager I was talking to said to me, it's only okay, nakedness, if it's sexual in this country. So it's like nudity is everywhere. It's an online pornography. It's on social media. It's in the kind of mainstream media, but it's all this kind of highly sexualized nudity. What we don't see in Britain is people being normal and naked, and we're all naked underneath our clothes, and then it becomes taboo. You know, the best example I can think of that is breasts are literally everywhere, but if a mother breastfeeds in public, up until a couple of years ago, that was making headline news. Now, that is literally what boobs were invented for, and yet for some reason that's the taboo thing. So what I think we need to do with nudity is make it more normalized and realize that it's not automatically sexual. You know, to be naked is not to be sexual, and that's kind of what the program is about, really. That, you know, we don't have to live up to this idea of this really sanitized, weird idea of sexuality in order to be comfortable with our naked bodies.
But I think my point is, where do we get naked? To be comfortable with being naked, we need to get naked. And I think in the Scandi countries, where there are lots of lakes and stuff, people just, you know, whip off their whatevers and jump into the lake on a hot day, and therefore it is normal and there's nothing sexual about it. So where and how do we start getting naked? Because I don't think it's going to happen on Brighton Beach.
No, you're right. I think the weather plays a part.
Yeah, good point.
maybe it should start in families. You know, I think that children should see their parents naked. I don't think there should be anything weird about that. You know, like my niece, who is, she will absolutely kill me saying this because she's currently 19, but when she was much younger, I used to get changed in front of her and just carry on chatting to her about her day at school and, you know, not make a big deal out of it, just so that she could see what a normal naked body looked like. Because if we don't do that, then there are things that will jump in and create an idea of normality, which is completely false for that generation.
But is that then not also wrapped up with parents' worries about, if I make nakedness at home okay, what happens when they're out and about and not with me, and they think their nakedness out in the real world, quote your fingers, is okay and I'm not around? Because we all know that society's changed a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. If you live in a house where people are okay with each other's nakedness, I don't think that necessarily means that you think it's okay to leave the house naked and just strut down the street naked. I think people will realise where the boundaries and the lines are.
Why is it important that we do this? So one of the things that I sort of sometimes get a little bit angsty about with the body positivity movement is I get to a point where I'm like, why is it just not body neutrality? Why are we talking about bodies all the time? By putting all this emphasis back on people's bodies, are we not just making us all think about them all the more and feeding into the cycle?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So the term body positivity was actually coined by fat women of colour, and their whole movement was about neutrality. So it wasn't actually about celebrating their bodies. It was about not ostracizing them for their bodies. So they were saying, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to, not get a job or not be allowed into certain social situations because of my body. And that, I think, is a really good aim, to just not be negative about certain bodies. And I think that the term body positivity has been co-opted now by a lot of brands and sort of used interchangeably with body confidence, but that's not why it was first coined. Your body, there's a great online influencer called the Slum Flower, Chidera Egeru, and she says your body is your spirit sack. And I think that's a great way of looking at it. It's just this thing that you're carrying your spirit around in. But I think one of the things that we can do in order to feel neutral about the body is to understand that to a large extent, the way we look is defined by things like, for example, how we move. There is a lot of middle-aged people in particular who are trying to look younger, and they will have work done that does make them look younger in a picture. But in real life, they look like older people who have had work done, because actually how young you look is defined by how you move and how enthusiastic you are and how kind of sparky you are. And that can't be captured in a shot on Instagram. Mm. And that's really what the program is trying to do. It's trying to show real bodies in motion, and you get to know the hosts. You're going to see them for 5 weeks every week. You get to understand these characters and what they're all about, and they do become more than a body. And I think that that's really important.
We've got a little trail of the show that we'll play now.
I just think my body's gross. Research suggests seeing a range of different naked bodies will change the way that these people feel for good.
As you can tell, we're not wearing any clothes.
The prospect of getting naked is making me feel physically sick.
This prospect of getting naked is making me feel physically sick. I just want to give him such a hug.
I know.
And one of the things that's really upsetting in the show that I hadn't really thought about before I watched it was that there are men out there with the same level of body fear that we just generally associate with women. Is that a growing problem?
Yeah. You know what? When we said that we wanted the playing field level, by we as women, this is not what we meant. I feel like over the previous couple of years, the level of body insecurity in men has really risen. But it does, in general, come from a different place. So when I was talking to men, generally speaking, all of their fears either started with or revolves around exercise and being muscular and being seen as strong and manly. With women, it tends to start or manifest around food, and then the obsession with exercise develops later. With guys, it's the other way around. So it starts with gym culture, and then when they're at the gym, they chat to other guys who tell them to cut out certain food groups or take protein products or whatever. But there has been a 70% increase in eating disorders amongst men in the past 5 years.
Wow.
And whilst I think the gym can be an incredible place to find your community and, hang out with other like-minded people, it's a social thing for a lot of people, I do think we also have to be careful about the culture that it's promoting with men.
I think it's interesting that for men it's about being bigger, and for women it's about being smaller.
Yeah.
Is that something that's linked with, I guess, how we see ourselves within society? Because I have like a real... I get very on my soapbox about the whole concept of diet culture being linked to patriarchy, trying to keep women literally small. Is this about, for men, is it about kind of trying to build themselves up so they're so big that nothing can hurt them? Or where does it come, or is it just simply an aesthetic thing?
So psychologically, generally speaking, women have a pretty straightforward body image shame trigger. If you want to shame a woman, call her fat, call her ugly, you're pretty much done. And that makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, as a high-profile woman in the public eye, you know, whenever I go on TV and say something that is considered controversial, I have queues of men on social media telling me that they don't want to have sex with me, which is always confusing because that was never what we were talking about. But I think they're kind of trying to shame me into silence. For your average man, the psychological shame trigger revolves around strength. If you want to shame a man, you'll call him weak. And I think what's interesting is that just as our definition of female beauty is fluid, you know, it changes throughout history, it changes throughout the world, so is our definition of male strength. So whereas 50 years ago, the definition of male strength was going out to work and providing for your family, now it's looking like you can handle yourself. So this obsession with muscle building, I actually think, comes from wanting to appear strong.
Natasha Devon, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. The Naked Beach is on Channel 4 Thursdays at 8 p.m. I found it fascinating just from watching and being like, gosh, I literally never see people of this shape on my TV. Didn't make me think about society. It made me think how one-dimensional most people appearing on TV are, literally and metaphorically. 1, 2, 3, 4! This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.